Welcome to the Fulham on the Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 6 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, this has been a day absolutely packed with news. The first, obviously, was that CPI figure that we were expecting, and that came in quite dovish, which was supportive of the stock markets in general. The survey was for 0.4%, and that's exactly what we got. The prior figure on the month-over-month index was 0.2, so quite a small increase there, and a decrease in the actual index year-over-year to 4.1%. The prior figure had been 4.3. So that was really bringing in just an extra piece of news to add confidence to the markets. And we have the Nasdaq up 17 points right now at 1558, so that's looking really quite good in here, provided of course that's held. The S&P is up 7.2 points at 1294. Those are futures prices, excuse me. The other big piece of news was nickel. Nickel is currently sitting at 29,100. It's up 1,645 points. And I think that the LME actually... There was a news story just flashed past that the LME have imposed some trading restrictions because there really is a shortage of the stuff around. And that's I think the backwardation has moved out to $3,500, which means that really does imply that there's a shortage of the stuff in the near term. You've also had some further news with this Inco bid. Techcom Inco have withdrawn their bid for Inco, which pretty much leaves Company of Valderia Doce as the sole bidder here, or the sole contender, really. I don't think Phelps Dodge have been pretty quiet over the last couple of weeks, particularly since Falconbridge seems to be going to Xstrata. So those are some relatively big pieces of news. The other sort of supply constraint market that's really in play at the moment is coffee. Coffee's currently up 88 points. That's currently sitting right at 1500. That's well off the highs. The highs were at 1584. So it's about halfway up the range on the day. But when you look at that monthly chart, it does look like it's basing out. And as long as we have some further activity, the lack of further supply coming into the market, I think that the upside will have the benefit of the doubt, and it would have to really put in a lower low to change my mind on that, really. I was tempted to take a little bit of profit when I saw it up that high, but I stayed my hand. I think that as we get closer to delivery date for Robusta, and particularly this September contract, I'm not so confident that this is going to last into the November contract, but I'd be more tempted to take profits closer to the expiration of the contract. I know that the spread bet will expire quite a bit before the actual future, but I'm afraid there's not a lot I can do about that. Now these PPI figures, not only do they support the stock market, they support the bond market as well. And 30-year treasuries are up 19 points, they're at 109.10, and the 10-year is up 14 at 106.23. That's a new reaction high for the 10-year posted a new reaction high. It's a little bit off those highs right now. So that means that there's definitely a little bit of supportive action coming in here to the government bond markets. I'm not particularly interested in buying the market because I think it's a secular bear market for prices, and I'd be more interested in shorting them when I see any developing uptrend start to lose momentum, and probably after the first downward dynamic. But at the moment, I think you'd have to give them the benefit of the doubt, particularly because you have the belief that we've seen a peak in interest rates. So the question is, is this an actual peak or is it a pause? Well, the data over the last couple of days would certainly suggest that this is more of a peak than a pause. And if that is the case, we obviously don't know for how many meetings they're going to pause for, but it certainly opens the door to rate cuts over the next couple of quarters. If if the economy is actually slowing, and or is slowing over the medium term, not just over the short term, but if we see a much slower economy, or you see much lower house prices, and I think that's going to be a key variable, then there is plenty of room for the Fed to cut interest rates to support the economy. Obviously, they're going to be able to, if they see another quarter where we have CPI figures, or another month where we have CPI figures like we've seen today, then they're going to be able to declare at least a Pyrrhic victory over inflation, or a short-term victory. And then that leaves the door open for them to cut rates, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see that happening in the next half to three quarters of a year. But what it does do is it sets us up for if the Fed is actually moving more towards a loosening as opposed to a tightening policy, then that does set us up for a really good stock market rally. And I think the key is going to be these small cap indices, and perhaps the Nasdaq. If they start to move out of their downtrends, then that's going to be a good signal that we're the vast majority of the way through this stock market, medium-term stock market correction. And the spectacular moves that we had in Europe yesterday were held up really quite well in here today. The only European market that was down was the FTSE, down 1 point. It had been down quite a bit more than that. I think at one point it was down 40 points, but it recouped almost the entire thing. Whereas the S&P MIB in Italy was up 1.23%, 455 points, so that's breaking up out of this consolidation as well. Probably the two strongest are Spain and Switzerland, which are challenging the highs, the May highs, and neither of them have broken through quite yet. On the other hand, in Asia, the Hang Seng has broken through its high, its May high, and is really coming quite close to that all-time high around the 18,000 mark. And I think we'd have to give it the benefit of the doubt, short of a downward dynamic or a lower low. And that certainly doesn't look on the cards right now. The Nikkei was quite strong in here today as well. It was up 255 points, or 1.61%. And again, that's breaking up out of the consolidation. The second section is starting to look certainly more perky. And while it still remains in a downtrend, we can give the benefit of the doubt to it until, unless it breaks that low we saw put in last week or the week before. So I think really you'd have to look at this as how risk averse are you, because in the short term these things are looking quite good, but if we look at the medium term trend, the small caps are looking like they're still in a downtrend, and that hasn't broken quite yet. The commonality factor across markets would imply that they are going to break these downtrends. But that still remains to be seen. Of course, if they fail to break the downtrends, and we see some downward dynamics coming off those July highs, then that would probably have a knock-on effect for other large cap stock markets. Sorry, large cap indices. Now, looking at some of the precious metals. Well, silver is certainly the best performer in here today. It's up 26 points on the September contract. That's at 1235 right now. Has been as high as 1244. So that's certainly still consolidating above those the $12 mark, and has maintained the break above the last consolidation, which was, I think, the July consolidation. And as long as it maintains that's just another step in the uptrend, and the trend is really quite consistent. Gold is at 632. It's still quite weak. It had been as high as 636 on the future. Sorry, I'll give you the spot price. That was 627. It was as high as 632. But that really hasn't shown any great sign of breaking out, or breaking this very short-term downtrend. Within the medium term, it's still consolidating, and I think that I don't see it really coming back an awful lot more, but we'll see how that pans out. Palladium also had a very good day. It's challenging the July high. It's up $11.80 at 336, and platinum is up $9 at 1251. Oil is quite weak in here today. It's at 72.10, and obviously that weaker oil price is helping stock markets as well. Although that's certainly not making the news. Actually, it's down $1.05 now at $72 even. And while that is certainly within a very consistent long-term uptrend, we could see there is room for some further weakening in here, and it would really need to see an upper dynamic to take the wind out of this short-term downtrend. I think it would need to close back below $67 and maintain a close below that level to break the actual longer-term uptrend. Natural gas is a bit disappointing in here today. It's down 19 points. It's at 667, and over the last couple of days, it had been showing some signs of finding a little bit of support and possibly putting in a higher low. But that doesn't seem to be panning out in here today. Of course, it's another 45 minutes from close, and this is quite volatile, so we don't know where it's going to close. But at the moment, it is lower than the early August low. So that's looking quite weak in here. I think that's on the basis of the fact that I think inventories rose over the last week. So we'll see what happens with that one. It doesn't look particularly bullish right now. I think that natural gas is still very much within a base, and it really needs to maintain a break above $8 to come out of that base, and it just hasn't done that quite yet. But that's pretty much it from me. If there's any questions you have or anything at all we can help out with, please don't hesitate to contact me, and have a very good evening.